Well, greetings everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week in more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on Here's What We Teach at the Law School right after this. Back in 1787, the writers of our Constitution put in this clause at Article 1, Section 10. It says, "No state shall make anything but gold or silver coin, a tender in payment of debt." And that clause follows the biblical injunction on just weights and balances that we see in Leviticus 19, verses 35 and 36. Now, private business is carried on in gold and silver coin, but public business is conducted in commercial paper like stocks, bonds, Federal Reserve notes, credit, credit cards, debt, and usury. Well, back in 1965, our Congress said that there's no difference in the value of gold and silver coin and clad coin or currency. And you know that's very true when we're dealing with banks, government, and commercial industries. But out here in the real marketplace, there's a 7-to-1 difference in the purchasing power of gold over paper. And there's a 7-to-1 difference in the taxes that are due on that paper money over gold. Now, you know, God and our founding fathers did not give us gold and silver coin for no good purpose. They knew that as a matter of law, gold and silver coin was absolutely necessary for you and I to deal in order for us to establish our property rights. Well, neither did our Congress and politicians take our gold and silver coin away from us for no good reason. They knew, and they knew full well back in 1933 when they did it, that in order to subjugate a free people, they would first have to take away the people's gold and silver coin, to take away the people's right to property and to destroy their property rights. And that's what they've done. So if you and I intend to regain our rights, duties, and capacities, then we must first regain our property and our property rights, because property is the legal foundation for all of our liberties. So let me show you how to do just that. Our business school is now on compact disc for adult home school. Now, for more information about our private business school, why don't you call and order our free general law CD package first? That doesn't cost you anything. It's a 4-hour commentary on the law in general, and it's informative, it's educational, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free. You can call and order one right now. The number to call is 417-273-4967. And our business school is also available on compact disc for adult home study. And if you're online, you can go to our website. It's georgegordon.org. Just click on to the email and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Now, once more, that's georgegordon.org. Or call us direct at 417-273-4967. Why don't you do it right now before you forget? All right, last time I told you about a letter. A guy wrote me a letter from Australia. And he asked some questions about our schools and wanted to know if I could do him any good, if I could help him any. Let me read you the letter. It's an email. It's very quick and to the point. I get about one of these a day. It'd be about 365 of them a year. And people are asking essentially the same questions. How do I get out of this mess? And here's what Jason said. He said, "Hello, first, thank you for your radio archives. You're certainly welcome." He said, "My wife and I have been listening for only a few months, and we both agree that the place for us to start is with your 4-hour introductory CD package. So if you have any available, could you kindly post to us at the address below?" And the answer to that's, yep, we can do that. Sometimes people call, "Would you send that to Australia?" Hell, we'll send it to Outer Mongolia if that's where you live. We do this worldwide. It doesn't cost you anything. This isn't for everybody. You don't want to send your money before you find out whether or not this program is for you. Now, I think that's just about as straightforward as you can be. In the scripture, God said many are called, but few are chosen. Well, if many are called and few are chosen, then obviously this isn't for everybody, is it? So if it isn't for you, let it pass. But it might be, and it doesn't cost anything to find out. So he says we're a family of seven, five children under 12, wanting to learn how to come out of the system in honor, if possible. Yeah, I think you can do that. He says we've cut up the credit cards, and we're slowly paying them off, about $20,000 worth. That's a bunch, but yeah, that's the place to start. Get out from under the debt. We don't know if the debts can be forgiven. Well, they could be if you were practicing the Jubilee and the Land Sabbaths, but you're probably not, and the banks aren't going to forgive any debts. They don't practice the Land Sabbaths and Jubilees. They'll never forgive you if you live to be 110. So, there's a way for you to solve this $20,000 problem. We're going to talk about that today because the second program that we suggest that you do is our private business school. You know, once you drop out of the system, once you go through tax and status, that's number one, and once you drop out of the system and you resign your Social Security number, you still have to pay your rent, don't you, Jason? Still got to buy groceries. You know, you've still got all of the same expenses and same bills that you got today. So before you get evangelistic zeal, it would seem like to me that you need to learn how to make a living outside the system, outside of taxes and Social Security, and under the Ten Commandment model instead of the Ten Plank model. So I always tell my students, now sit back and relax. You know, it took you all your life to get into the jam that you're in. Don't expect to get out of the jam in the next 15 or 20 minutes. Give yourself 36 months. 36 months. That's 3 years. If you're 50 years old and it took you 40 years to get into this mess, don't you think 36 months would be a reasonable amount of time to get out of it? Now, if you're in a hurry and you want to do it faster than that, sometimes people have said, well, how long would it take if you actually knew how to do it? Well, if you knew what to do and how to do it, probably 30 days. You know, I'd say 30 days, probably do it. But the problem that everybody has is that you've been a practicing communist all of your life, and so now I say, well, now it's time for you to learn the Ten Commandment model, learn the common law. Don't you think that you need to give yourself a little time to learn that? Now, sometimes people say, well, how long does it take to learn it? Well, if you're of average intelligence, you know, I'm just saying your IQ is out around 100 or 110, something like that, just a normal Joe six-pack, and you got a job driving truck or you're an electrician or a carpenter or something like that, and it takes money to educate yourself, takes a little time, effort, and energy, you got to do it after work and on the weekends, give yourself 36 months. That's what I said when I opened the conversation. I said it's about 36 months. Now, if you're sitting there saying, well, I can't wait 36 months, probably this program isn't for you. But 36 months from now, you know, you could have been saying bye-bye, and if you don't get started, you're not going to be able to say bye-bye. So tuck that one away in your heart. So he says, I want to learn how to come out of this program, or out of the government program, and we rent a home on 5 acres. That's good. If you've got 5 acres of ground, boy, you're in Fat City there, Jason, let me tell you. And he says, we don't have any other debt other than the credit cards. Well, that's pretty darn good. If you don't have any other debt, and all we have to do is get out of those credit cards, I think I could show you how to do that. We live hand to mouth. That's pretty normal. Most people are just living hand to mouth. And that's what communism produces. Communism is the system whereby we learn how to share the shortage. The Ten Commandment model, we don't have to share the shortage because we have an abundance. We have everything that we need. Sometimes I'll want to take the wife out to dinner, and we'll go out, and we get into a restaurant, and there's a line. And there's some girl up there, and she says she wants to take our name and give us a number, and we're going to have to wait. And I always tell my wife, I said, no, I don't think I want to sit here and wait. Obviously, this restaurant has too much business. It's too popular. Why, these people here are making too much money, and you have to stand in line in order to share. And there's a shortage of tables. There's a shortage here. You got to stand in line to share the shortage. I don't want to do that. Let's go find a restaurant that's got some available tables. Got some people over here that have some time on their hands, and they've got the time to wait on me. They've got time to work. And so that's just kind of my attitude. I don't like standing in line to share the shortage. I like to walk right in, step right up, and get my share right off the top. So he goes on, he says, "We're asking for your help in truth and education, please. If we were over your way, we would offer our labor for help. Unfortunately, the USA is not in our reach at the moment, but our situation may change in the not-so-distant future." Well, I'm not sure that you want to come to the United States. You know, all the rest of you people out there in the world. Most people want to. They'd like to come here. But you see, the party's over. When we were having this big party, it was a good place to come, you know, where you could drink and pinch the girls on the butt and have a good time. But party's over now. And all of us are going to come back down to earth. And then we're going to go to work just like we were supposed to do in the beginning and didn't. And hell, you can do that where you're at. And furthermore, you can make, this is our business school we're touting today, you can make $100,000, this is U.S. dollars now, $100,000 in 36 months practicing the private business school. This is the Ten Commandment model, Ten Commandments. Let me show you who it was that said that. I'm just repeating what somebody told me. This is the creator of the universe. And in Malachi chapter 3, he said, "Well, a man robbed God," he says, "but you've robbed me, but you say, wherein have I robbed you?" And God answers in tithes and offerings, and he says, "Now you're cursed with a curse because you've robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, says the Eternal of Hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it." Now, that's the kind of program I like. I like working in a program where there is so much money, so much wealth being created and produced, there ain't room enough to store it all. Because I don't like standing in line to share the shortage. That's the program the creator of the universe came up with when he came up with this business. It's called private business, and it deals with the Ten Commandment model. You know, things like, "You shall not have an unjust weight or balance in your bag, and thou shalt not steal." So we deal in gold and silver. We don't deal in paper money, stocks, and bonds. We don't charge other people interest and usury, and we don't charge it either. I know it's kind of a wild, off-the-wall concept. I don't deny it. Now, when I was a practicing communist, I practiced communism now from the time I was born until I was 37 years old. And I can tell you that communism never worked for me. Now, maybe it'll work for you, but it never worked for me. I tested it. I tried it. I made a lot of money practicing communism and then turned around and lost it all. Then I went out and made a lot of money and I turned around and lost it all. Then I made a lot of money and I turned around and lost it all. One day I woke up and said, you know, I don't need this anymore. Let's see if we can make some money and hang on to it. So I changed my modality from the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto to the Ten Commandments, and lo and behold, I was able to go out and make a bunch of money and hang on to it. Now, here's the first place that we want to tell you about, Jason, and hanging on to money. And I don't know what the tax rate is down in Australia, but it's probably pretty close to what it is here in the United States, because in all of the communist practicing countries around the world, they have what's known as the heavy progressive income tax. The more you make, the more they tax you. Now, here in the United States, the tax is about 17% at the low end and 42% at the high end. Then we have a thing here called Social Security. Up in Canada, they've got it. It's called the Social Insurance Program, I believe it is. Now, down in Australia and New Zealand, you people have something similar to it. I don't know the name of it, but you got a social insurance program, an old age and survivors benefit program, unemployment insurance, workman's compensation. That's a communist program. And it probably takes about 16% of your income. Now just add those two together, 16 and 17, and that's about 33%. All right, those two taxes take one third of everything you create and produce. So now, if we could eliminate those two taxes, just drop out of that program, and then go out in the marketplace and buy, sell, and trade, we could do one of two things. We could make one third less and live just as well, or if we made just as much money, we'd live one third better because we'd hang on to that extra one third. Now, a lot of people about this time say, oh my God, what are you going to do when you get to be old? Well, I'm old. And you're going to do just exactly what I did and exactly what Moses did. Moses didn't go to work until he was 80 years old. 80. That's when he started his program. And then he worked till he was 120. Never missed a day's work. Worked 6 days a week, 12 hours a day, for 40 years. And that's what I do. I work 12 hours a day, 6 days a week. I'm 70, and I intend to do that until I'm 110. Well, why don't you retire? Because I don't want to retire. People that retire die. I don't want to die. I want to keep working. Number two, we're in a Great Depression now, and there isn't any time to retire. There isn't enough wealth out there to retire. So make up your mind to the fact that you're going to work for the rest of your life. See how simple that is? All right. So now once we get it in our heads that we're not going to buy a Winnebago and spend the rest of our life dinking around, we're going to be working. Now we got to figure out what we want to do. Now most people want to work for IBM or Texaco or Standard Oil or some big corporation. Now let me explain that to you. That's what we call bond servitude. Now people have been complaining about slavery, you know, for years and years. Now bond servitude under the economy, the economic system that we have created under the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto is much more efficient than slavery. Much more efficient. Just the way it works. You're born. You live for 6 years and we enter you into an institution. We institutionalize you for 12 years and educate you to be a bondservant. We want you to be a productive member of society. This is called a worker. Now, if we can, we'll put you through college. That's an extra 4 years so that you can be a professional and you can make more money. Professionals in this country make $100,000 a year, and they have what we call in this country, they live in the top 5% of income earners in the nation. They graduate from college at about age 22, I think it's age 22, and work until they're about 62. So that's 32, 42, 52, 62. That's 40 years. Now they make $100,000 a year. Times 0.33 is $33,000 a year times 40 years is $1,320,000. So every college graduate that graduates from college here in the United States of America is worth about $1.3 million to the government. And that's just two taxes now, two. We have 14 taxes in this country, that's two. Now, in the old days, we used to put chains on you and put you to work out here in the field, and we called you a slave. That was a good system, worked well, made a lot of money, but it wasn't nearly as efficient as this economical system or the economy, where we educate you, put you to work, let you work for corporations, license you by the state, and then we regulate and control you just like we would a slave. But we don't call you a slave, we call you an employee. I would suggest, Jason, that you forget that employee status and let's concentrate on entrepreneur. Can you say entrepreneur? Jason. That's called a private businessman. Now, you said that we homeschool through ACE, which now parents that refuse their children shots will be charged with neglect. Therefore, removing the children from the parents' care, we feel that we're being trapped. Jason, you're right. You have been trapped. You have been trapped. You were trapped at birth with a birth certificate, and then a little later on, they trapped you again, put you through the public school system. Then they gave you a social security number, a taxpayer identification number, a driver's license, and a marriage license, and boy, they got you by the short hair. You know that? And you're working away, and you made a PS postscript down here. You said, we're interested in learning how not to have income. That's a good idea. Let's avoid income like AIDS, herpes, and VD. And we like your ideas on organic farming. That's good. You got 5 acres. That's a good place for you to make money. And I have questions about driver's license and birth certificates. Those questions are answered in tax and status. And you say, 3 of our children don't have birth certificates. 2 do. We don't know what to do. Okay, well, that's normal. A lot of people don't know what to do either. So I told you the very first thing we'd like to suggest that you do is go through tax and status. That tells you, here's what happened to you and here's what your problem is. Now, the second thing we need to do is to teach you how to make a living outside the system. You have to be able to make a living on your own. I mean, you got to be able to go out there and hustle up a buck. You got to go out there and buy, sell, and trade. And so we start off, and there's 56 things that you need to know about private business. 56 lessons, 56 chapters here. In Chapter 3, we talk about paper money, paper currency. And we start off in December of 1690 in Massachusetts, where they issued 7,000 pounds of private bills of equal value with money. How do you like that? These bills are not money, but they're of equal value with money. In May of 1691 and July of 1692, they issued 30,000 pounds of printed bills, and they made all of these bills of public credit current with this province in all payments equivalent to money accepting specialties and contracts made before the publication of this new law. As a result, almost immediately, all of the coin then in Massachusetts was exported to Great Britain, and a new stock followed as fast as it came in from abroad. Trade and commerce declined, and hard times came upon the people. All right, that's what paper money does. Paper money comes from the fifth plank to the Communist Manifesto. It violates the Ten Commandment rule that says, thou shalt not steal, and the statute that regulates thou shalt not steal, which says, you shall not have an unjust weight or balance in your bag. You should be dealing with just weights and balances called gold and silver coin. And believe it or not, you Australians have gold and silver coin being minted by your government right now. Did you know that? You Canadians, ditto. And other countries around the world that are minting money, South Africa and the United States, those are the big four. They're not the only ones, but the big four. All right, now, you need to learn how to use gold and silver coin. And we can teach you how to do that in our private business school. And one of the things that we need to do is to learn how to use the Ten Commandments. So we have to wean you from the ten planks, and then we've got to put you back onto what we used to practice in this country, the Ten Commandment model. Now, when we get through with paper money, the next thing is Chapter 4, which deals with our monetary system. Now, in different countries around the world, we have monetary systems. Every country does. Great Britain does. France does. Germany does. Now, all of these people use commercial paper. They use paper money. Now, the paper money that you're using is the fifth plank to the Communist Manifesto, and we need to make a change here. So we start off and we say, okay, let's explain to you paper money and currency. Then let's show you how your monetary system works in your country. And whether you're living in China or India, just for, you know, to give you a for instance over here, the people in India, as poor as they are, know how to use gold and silver coin. In fact, one half of all of the silver on planet Earth is located in India. Did you know that? One half of all of the silver that has ever been mined on planet Earth today resides in India. Now, the people in China and Japan, they know how to use gold and silver coin. Not everybody, no, not everybody. Here in the United States, 5% of the people own, use, and practice the use of 100% of the gold and silver. The other 95% are out to lunch and don't know what it is. Well, that's their problem in life, isn't it? It's not mine. And so, if you want to learn how to use gold and silver coin, Australia has plenty of it. And there's plenty of people down in Australia who know how to use it. And what we need to do is teach you how to use gold and silver coin. And then we go into business and we use gold and silver coin instead of paper money. And then we tithe instead of pay the income tax. These are kind of wild new concepts, aren't they? And right away somebody writes me a letter and they say, oh my God, can you do that? Is it legal? Yeah, it's legal. At least here in Anglo-Saxon countries, the people have been using gold and silver now for thousands of years. We've been using it as a matter of religious free exercise under the First Amendment. You Canadians can do the same thing. You Australians can do that. You Europeans can do it. Now, you might have a little problem in China, or Japan, or Mongolia, or North Korea. I can't tell you with precision, you know, how each government in the world works, but you can. And we do that when we get into courtroom strategy and procedure. That'll be the next program. I'll show you how to do legal research and so you can find out what the laws are in your country. And then how do we meld those laws in your country with the scripture, with religious free exercise? And if you live in a country now that subscribes to the United Nations Charter, you can use the Bible, the scriptures, to defend your way of life using the Ten Commandment model. Did you know that? That's right. Even the totalitarian governments will do that if you have a truly and sincerely held religious belief. I'll show you a little more about that as we progress along. Now, here in the United States, our monetary system, our gold monetary system, is found in Title 31, Section 5101 through 5112. Down in Australia, you'll have a similar statute. Canada, ditto. Europe, ditto. And in some countries, you may find that you have even better benefits available to you than we have here in the United States. Now, people have been dealing as entrepreneurs, that is, traders at law on a cash basis, buying, selling, and trading for thousands of years. And the champions of buying, selling, and trading are the Chinese. The Chinese are all over the world as I speak. There are Chinese traders in Africa, South Africa, every country in the world. We have a Chinatown. Or Chinatowns, plural, all over America. And here's an interesting thing. The Chinese, I have never seen a Chinese tradesman. The Chinese don't work for other people. They don't work as employees. Well, not outside China, they don't. They're all entrepreneurs. They're all businessmen. And those Chinese, they do things like restaurants and apartment houses and import and export businesses. They buy, they sell, they trade, and they wax great. They're nothing like a Chinese businessman. They're all entrepreneurs. So I figure if a Chinese can do it, then maybe I could do it. And that's worked well for me. And I think you'll find that you can find a little niche business over here, and that's one of the things that we teach are these little niche businesses that fit right into this concept of private business. Now, for instance, here's 20 private businesses, exchanges, the Orange Man story, the watermelon sales story, the alfalfa sprout story, the underground movers, used merchandise business, the produce business, house painting, chimney sweeps, well drilling, used paperback bookstore, independent mechanic, computer programmers, carpenters, building maintenance, woodcutters, smoked meats, house cleaning, lawn and yard care, greenhouse transplants. Every one of those businesses will make you $100,000 a year in gold coin. Now, not face value. That's Federal Reserve Note U.S. dollars per year. If you're talking about gold, let's take 100,000 divided by 50, which is about $2,000 face value in U.S. gold coin. And that's what keeps you under the filing minimum. That keeps you out of the income tax. Instead of trying to make $100,000 a year, why don't you make $2,000 a year in gold? And instead of spending a third of $100,000 in paper on taxes, why don't you make $2,000 in gold, which has the same purchasing power, and pay no taxes at all? Wouldn't that be just real special? Hey, we're at the halfway point here, boys and girls. Let me give you a reminder that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the law school and The Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has a radio log schedule and archives, all of which can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. Now, all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. We often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that the authors or publications that we endorse will necessarily reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications cited here on the Law Hour and Editorial Review may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertiser, sponsors, management, or staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, then please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org, or call us direct 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about here's what we teach here at the law school. Now, all of these schools are put on compact disc. They're all audio, and they're on compact disc. And they run about, oh, I'd say 80 minutes, I believe. Now, this particular school, our business school, has probably 30 hours of material, 30 hours of compact disc. I didn't keep track of it off the top of my head, but something like that. And we go through the school every once in a while, and we turn out these compact discs, and we have a live audience here, and we run through all of the program. And you can do this at home. And there's a binder. You need a 2-inch binder. And about 500 pages of material organized into 56 chapters, 56 subjects here. And as you go through these compact discs, you just turn the pages. And the purpose for the paperwork is to prove what I'm telling you. Remember, I told you yesterday, I said, you know, you can't believe anything that I say, and I don't ask you to. For instance, when I started out, I said in 1691, back in Massachusetts, do you remember that little story here? I said, in December of 1690, Massachusetts issued 7,000 pounds of printed bills of equal value with money. And then as a result, almost immediately all of the coin then in Massachusetts was exported to England, and a new stock followed as fast as it came in from abroad, and trade and commerce declined, and hard times came upon the people. This is a historical treatise. This is the history of the first issue of bills of public credit in the colonies, the American colonies, from 1690 to 1756. And it gives you the facts concerning South Carolina, Great Britain, New Hampshire, Connecticut, New York, Rhode Island, South Carolina, Massachusetts, Massachusetts, Massachusetts again, Connecticut, Pennsylvania, Maryland. Every one of our colonies over here tried this paper money trick. It didn't work for a single one of them. They all went broke. The average loss was 90%. And that's where you're headed now in Australia. You're going to lose 90% of all of your wealth. I was just reading the International Forecaster, and they pointed out that the world has lost $40 trillion in the last 16 months. Just evaporated. Gone. It's wealth that we all thought we had, and, in fact, we didn't all have it. We thought we had it. Any one person could have gone out and cashed in his chips. But everybody couldn't cash in their chips. But any one, five, or ten could have. Well, now there's so many people that have cashed in their chips that now the chips aren't worth as much. And so there's losses out here. Now, that's no big deal. So I always tell my students, now you're just 36 months away from $100,000 in gold buried in a hole in the ground, and you can do that in China. There are millionaires in China. Did you know that? There's millionaires in Japan. There's millionaires in Bolivia and Brazil. All over the world, there are people with money. Entrepreneurs that are out buying, selling, and trading. And we'll teach you how to buy, sell, and trade, and teach you how to make real wealth in the form of property instead of making dollars. All right, now let's take a look at another little part of the story over here. Take a look here at number 41. That was 3 and 4. We go over here to chapter 41 here. 41, come on, 41, here we are, 26 products in gold and silver. Here in the United States, we have gold and silver coin being turned out at the West Point Mint. And here in this country, we call them American Gold Eagles. And they've got a face amount printed right on them. It says $50. Down in South Africa, you're turning out South African Krugerrands. Up in Canada, you turn out maple leaves, and down in Australia, you're turning out nuggets. And all of these gold coins are essentially the same. They're 1 ounce, half ounce, quarter ounce, and 1/10 ounce. And in some locations, they've got some 1/20 ounce coins. Down in Australia, I believe they're 1/20 of an ounce. Got some of those. And they've got face amounts printed on them. And every day, those gold coins, along with the silver coins of your countries today, have a paper dollar value. Like your Australian dollars and Canadian dollars and American dollars, they have a dollar value. At 10:30 every morning in England, the Bank of England sets that number. And then around the world, other gold exchanges, you know, they set their numbers. And then what they're telling you is the spot price of gold. Well, now, there are 26 products in gold and silver. 26 products that you need to learn what these prices are and how they work. And you have to pay your dues. And you have to pay attention here. I'll run through the 26 for you just to show you what they are. The spot price of gold and the spot price of silver. That's two products. Then there are 100-ounce silver bars, 10-ounce silver bars, and 1-ounce silver rounds. And then we have junk silver. Those are the old circulated coins, like 10-cent pieces, dimes, 25-cent pieces, quarters, 50-cent pieces, half dollars. Here in the United States, those are the coins that date from 1794 to 1964, and silver dollars that are dated 1794 to 1964. And then we have the new silver dollars that they began minting in 1986 up to the present. Now, all of these coins have what we call a fineness. For instance, our silver and gold coin today, they have a fineness called 3/9 or 4/9 fine. So on your gold coins, it says 0.9999 fine. And on your silver coins, it'll say 0.999 fine. And then we have bullion coins, and then we have circulating coins. And some coins have some copper in them. Like the Canadian silver dollars are only 800 fine. That means that it's only 8/10 of an ounce. It isn't 10/10 of an ounce of silver in it. And this fineness and the weight of the coins and the value of the coins and the numismatic value, all of those come into the daily valuation of paper money versus gold and silver coin. And we have to learn how to use it so that when somebody wants to make a transaction that's worth $1,000, we have to be able to figure out, well, how many ounces of gold is that? How many ounces of silver? How many Canadian silver dollars? How many American silver dollars? How many of the old silver dollars versus the new silver dollars? All right, now that's 8. Then we have 9, 10, 11, 12. It's the 1-ounce Canadian gold maple leaf, half-ounce Canadian gold maple leaf, quarter-ounce, and 1/10 ounce. Then number 13, 14, 15, and 16 are the 1-ounce gold Krugerrands, half-ounce gold Krugerrands, quarter-ounce Krugerrands, and 1/10 ounce Krugerrands. Then we have 17, 18, 19, and 20. It's the 1-ounce American Gold Eagle, and then there's the half-ounce American Gold Eagle, the quarter-ounce American Gold Eagle, and the 1/10 ounce. Then number 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, and 26 are the $20 American Gold Double Eagles, British Gold Sovereigns, Austrian Gold Coronas, Mexican Gold 50 Pesos, numismatic coins, and then raw gold, that's placer gold. Stuff that just comes right out of the ground, and some guy's got it in a bag. Now, that's not all of the gold coins in the world. Over the centuries, the French, the Germans, the English, the Austrians, all these countries have minted gold coins and silver coins. Those coins today, some of them have what's known as numismatic or collector's value. And we'll show you that numismatic value is what we call blue sky. Blue sky. Or premium. They have premium. Now, an ounce of gold is an ounce of gold is an ounce of gold. And you can get an ounce of gold in the form of a $20 double eagle, minted at a certain time with a certain min mark on it and maybe in a certain condition, then it can be worth more than its melt value. It can be worth more than 1 ounce of gold. We suggest that novices stay away from numismatic coins because of the blue sky. Here's an illustration. The premium on numismatic coins is 25%. So you get an ounce gold coin, and the spot price of gold, let's say, is $1,000 an ounce. We'll just round it off. That means that a 1-ounce gold coin has a value of $1,000. But when we're talking about Australian dollars aren't as worth as much as American dollars, and Canadian dollars, they're worth a little less than an American dollar. So we have to be able to compute these numbers in whatever currency you're dealing in, with whatever gold coins that you want to trade in. And we can learn how to do that, and we teach you how to do just that. That's in lesson 41. All right, now there's another part of the story here. Turn over here to chapter 50. Chapter 50 here. Strict liability. Here we go. And this is insurance. Now, most people have insurance. They believe in insurance. But that violates the Mosaic law. It violates the law of God. It violates the common law. Insurance is called limited liability. The Bible, the Ten Commandment model, teaches and practices strict liability. Now, strict liability is where you live your life without any insurance. That is, you live in a house and you don't have any fire insurance. You don't have any flood insurance. And you drive a car and you don't have any auto insurance. You don't have any homeowner's insurance, any life insurance. I know. Listen, I hear you. I can hear you clear from Australia as you gasp in holy righteous indignation. How in the hell can you do business without insurance? Very well, thank you. I have been insurance-free for 25 years. And I make a lot of money off of my insurance premiums. Let me give you an illustration. Let's suppose you drive an automobile. And in this country, in the United States, the average is $800 a year. Now, the average guy drives a car and he has one accident once every 32 years. And that accident will cost, on average, $1,835. Now, for 32 years, he's been paying in $800 a year. So it's 800 times 32 years, or $25,600. Sometime during that 32 years, he could expect to have one accident worth $1,835. So we take $25,600, and we put that in our Texas Instruments calculator here. Now we're going to subtract $1,835. That leaves us with a $23,765 profit. Now the insurance companies make that profit off of everybody in the United States of America that buys auto insurance, on average. Now down in Australia, you people have automobiles and auto insurance, and you also have bonds. So I travel on a property bond. So I took some property that I have, and I went out and I put up a property bond in lieu of the insurance. And so now, when the policeman stops me, he says, "Okay, I want to see your insurance card," and I hand him my bond. "Oh, yeah, you've got a bond." And you'll find that in Australia and Canada and all around the world, you have an alternative to insurance. It's called a property bond. And so you post a bond. And then you pocket that $23,765 every 32 years. How's that for a plan? Let's try another one here. You got fire insurance. Well, in case your house burns down, you're insured. All right. Now, when was the last time you saw a house burn down in your neighborhood? Think about that now for a minute. And the answer is you haven't seen a house burn down in your neighborhood because it's not allowed. It's not allowed because that's why we have fire departments, remember? And so you have fires, but those fires don't burn houses down. They have grease fires in the kitchen, and they cause, on average here in the United States, $14,000 damage. Now, the insurance company requires that you carry $100,000 worth of liability insurance on your house, fire insurance now, and then you have a $14,000 fire, and they pay you $14,000. If you have $14,000 worth of insurance, and you have a $14,000 fire, they will pay you 14% of $14,000 because you didn't carry full coverage. That's because insurance companies are criminals and they steal a lot. That's the way the game is played. So I took a look in my neighborhood and I could see that our houses in our neighborhood are not burning down. So I figured, well, I could take that same $600 a year and I could do that for the next 30 years and see how much money that is. 30 times 600 bucks is $18,000. I can put $18,000 along with my $23,765. That's $18,000. And that's $23,333,43,000, $41,765 over the next 30 years. You see that? Now you just keep adding those insurance premiums up, and this is what we call being self-insured or going naked. Guy asked me one day, he said, what are you going to do when your house burns down? I said, build a new one. He said, you don't have any insurance. Nope, I don't. He said, you're going to have to pay for all of that yourself. I said, you're right. That's what I got to do. That's why I've got three houses. I got the house I live in, and I got a trailer house up here on the North 40, then I bought another old wreck of a house down on Barn Fork. It's a creek down here called Barn Fork. Sometimes people say, how come you got three houses? Well, what the hell am I going to do if a tornado comes through here? Rips my house down. Got to have a place to live, don't I? See, most of you people are spending all your money on insurance premiums, and that's why you don't have money to buy three houses. Well, I don't spend my money on insurance premiums, so I have three houses. Now, if everything goes along fine, now let me tell you about going along fine. One of your 33 articulable benefits is everything you put your hand to do will prosper. Do you know that? Everything you put your hand to do. So if you people would practice the Sabbath instead of Sunday, if you'd practice the Feast of Tabernacles instead of Christmas, if you'd practice the Passover instead of Easter, in short, if you would obey God and keep His commandments, He would bless you instead of curse you. Instead of having a hurricane that rips up your property or a tornado, you'd have good weather. Or the tornado knocks everybody's property down around you, but not yours. You ever notice that? I just throw that out for your consideration. Then you take your insurance premiums over here and you stick that in a sock someplace. And better yet, you take your insurance money and you invest that into your business and you buy, sell, and trade with it. Now, here's what we intend to do. We intend to buy something for a dollar. We call this the 2% principle. Now, write this down, Jason. It's called the 2% principle. Very important principle of business. This is our markup, 2%. You buy it for a dollar and you sell it for $2. Can you do that? When people come into class, I say, if I gave you a dollar today, could you take that dollar out and buy, sell, and trade with it for a year? And then come back to me at the end of 365 days with $2. Could you do that? Almost everybody, I could do that. Sure. Okay. Well, could you take $2 out in the same 365 days, buy, sell, and trade with it? Occupy until I return, and then give me $4 upon my return. Most people would say, well, yeah, I think I could do that. How about 8, 16, 32, 64, 128, 256, 5, 12, 10, 24? If I gave you $1,024, could you take it out, buy, sell, and trade with it? And at the end of 1 year, 365 days, give me back $2,048. Now people start to get starry-eyed. They look around the table. They look at me. Well, I don't know. Well, excuse me. If you can take a dollar out and double it to two and take $2 out and double it to four, why can't you take $1,000 out and double it to two? Take $2,000 out and double it to four. See, when you started off, you were going to buy a pocket knife and trade it for a bag of marbles. Trade the bag of marbles for a tape measure, and the tape measure for a couple of binders and then traded the two binders. I don't know. There was a guy one time, he was given an illustration. He traded a rock for a marble, traded the marble for a knife, traded the knife. One day, when he finished his trades, he had a house. Well, he took a rock and he turned that rock over about 50 or 75 times until he finally had a house. That's what trading is all about. Can you do that? Well, you could do it if somebody showed you how, couldn't you? Now, it's not easy to double your capital every year. In fact, most investors would tell you, if you could get a 5% return, if you could take $1,000 and buy a government bond and get 5% return per year, you'd be a great investor. You'd be really smart. Okay. Well, I wouldn't get out of bed for 5%. That's just my druthers here. And so when you trade for a dollar for $2, my wife calls that the 2% principal. Now, actually, that's what we call 100% principal. That's 100. You doubled your money. That's 100%. Okay. Had a Jewish guy here one time, and he gasped. He choked, and he said, no, that's not 2%. That's 100%. Oh, my wife said, well, now there you go, getting off on that high finance again. You know, we like to keep it simple around here. Just buy it for a dollar and sell it for two, or buy it for $200 and sell it for four, or buy it for $1,000 and sell it for $2,000. That's the way we do it here. That's called a keystone markup. Keystone markup. So we want to get into the kind of business where we can keystone our markup in the thing or in the products that we're buying, selling, and trading. We don't want to have a business license. We don't want to do business with the government. We've discovered that doing business with the government's like doing business with the mafia. It's a criminal enterprise. It's a criminal organization. It doesn't make money for little guys down here at the bottom of the pond. It makes money for all the top feeders up at the top of the pond. Little guys down here at the bottom of the pond. We got to have something for us guys to do, too. All right. So that's one of the things that we're going to do. Now, tithing is an important element to this. Instead of paying income tax, we're going to tithe. I know, it sounds crazy, sounds religious. And we ain't going to give a dime to the Pope, ain't give nothing to the Mormons, ain't giving nothing to religion or churches. How's that? That make you feel better? If the guy's a preacher, we ain't giving him jack diddly squat. All right. But we're still going to tithe, and we're going to tithe 10% of our increase, not 10% of our gross, 10% of our net. And we're going to be real religious about that. And when we do that, we're going to have a blessing comes our way. So just, did you know that? Then the last item over here that you need to be familiar with is credit. Credit. And we're going to avoid credit like AIDS, herpes, and VD, but we're going to extend credit, but we're not going to accept it. And that's because God said, you will lend to many and borrow from none. Instead of owing $20,000 to the credit card companies, we're going to lend $20,000 to somebody, and we ain't even going to charge them any interest. How's that? And that's all part and parcel with the business school, based upon the Ten Commandment model. A wild new idea. That's the second part of our program. Hey, I'm about out of time here, kids. I'm going to have to leave it right there and remind you that you've been listening to The Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact desk, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has a radio log schedule and archives, all of which can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.